So we're just going to read the first two words, otherwise we can't say we started the prayer. Chesed Vatim. Okay, you can close the Gemara's now, and then we're done. The place I, what we have to discuss now is just a little bit of an introduction, really to Chesed Vatim and to the Momentous in general, and to really get the ABCs of what we're going to be hopefully talking about over the next couple of months. There is a basic din that appears in the Mishnah, or more correctly to say, doesn't appear in the Mishnah. It's so obvious, it's so fundamental, it's the basic halacha of the entire parak, and yet the Mishnah doesn't really spell it out. What the din that I'm referring to is as follows. What is the basic halacha? We have a sichsuch, you have a machlokas, and dinim hominis, particularly in the realm of karka. So I come up to you and I say that this land that you're sitting on, this house that you're sitting on, this is my land, and I can prove it was my land. It was my land from the last 20 years. We have eidim 20 years ago that I was the rightful owner of this land. And you respond, and you say, what do you mean? But I'm sitting on the land, I'm here. So isn't that worth something? Squatter's rights, possession, 9/10 of the law, 10/10 of the law. Is it obvious that I'm the owner of the land? Rabbi said, what's the answer to the question? I claim that I used to own this land, and you claim that the land is now yours. So the underlying premise of the entire parak is what? Who wins? That's called Cheskes Marakama. The guy who used to own the land is the one who owns the land. It is Alav Araya, the person who is the quote-unquote machzik or the muchzak, whoever you want to say it for our purposes. The guy who is sitting on the land right now has to now prove to us that he is in fact the rightful owner of the land. So the starting point of the entire parak is that Cheskes Gimel Shanim is incumbent upon the machzik to prove that he is in fact the rightful owner of the land, and until he does that, then the Marakama, the original owner, is the one who's going to win the Din Torah. That's the given, that's the obvious, there's nothing to discuss. I just put it quickly in the Marakama, so I had to find someone who says it. It's the Rambam. The Rambam just spells out what the underlying premise of the entire parak is all about. And Rabbi Say, it's this basic halacha, this basic premise of the entire parak of Cheskes about this, that the original owner of the Marakama is the one, he is the one who wins the case, which we have to really understand, analyze, where does this come from? Why is there a need for Cheskes Gimel Shanim? What are we spending a whole year learning 40 blad about Cheskes Gimel Shanim? Why do you have to prove 3 years? What is it that gives the Marakama that koyach that has to be 40 days? So everybody said, in order to answer this question, we have to go back a step a little bit. We have to go back to other Masechtas. We're up to Rebbe Bava Basra. So the assumption of Rebbe Yudah Nasi was that we finished Bava Kama Bava Metzi already. Whether that's a good assumption or not is highly questionable. But let's ask the very ABCs. Forget about karka for a second. Forget Cheskes Vatim. I'm having a Din Torah on Metalachlim. Here we have, where's Moshe? Moshe, right here. Okay, good. Moshe, I like that shirt. That's my shirt. That's my shirt. You know, so I wear a shirt like that. It's my shirt. Okay? So what's the dinner, by saying? Who wins the shirt? Moshe wins the shirt. Why does Moshe win the shirt? Famous Halacha Motzi Mechabel Lavaraya. I want to prove that that shirt belongs to me. So I have to bring Adim. I have to bring a Raya. I have to bring some kind of a proof that I'm the rightful owner of that shirt. Calls man that I can't bring Adim, that I'm the rightful owner of that shirt. Moshe is holding on to the shirt is the one who's going to win that shirt. That's the basic ABCs of Adim Ominous. We have to understand why that is true, why those ABCs are in fact correct. And then once we've ascertained, once we analyze why that is correct, then we have to understand why Cheskes Vatim isn't working that way. Because if you follow the logical continuation of that halacha of Motzi Mechalev Araya, what should the din of every sichsuch and karka be? I come to you and I say, get off of my field, because after all, 20 years ago, I owned the field. What should the halacha say? Just because we're sitting like an amphitheater doesn't mean to get off. Well, we should say Motzi Mechalev Araya. Namely, the guy who's sitting on the land should say, I'm sitting on the land, I'm muchzik on the land. The same emotion says, I'm muchzik on my blue shirt. So the guy says, I'm muchzik. No, I'm kidding. So too, the guy sitting on the field says, I'm muchzik on the field. So we have to understand why Motzi Mechalev Araya does work in the first place by Metalfalin. And then number two, why it doesn't work in the karkas. Those are some of the things that we have cut out for ourselves for the first sugya. So this is, in a certain sense, the introduction to Cheskes Vatim. This is the introduction to the Din Mamonos, so we'll try to understand a little bit about this. Let's go back to the ABC. Motzim Mechabel of Araya. How do you know that's true? Vishteit, where does it say such a halacha? Motzim Mechabel of Araya. So there's a famous Gemara in Maseches Bava Kama, in the beginning of the fifth parak, where the Gemara asks this very question. So the Gemara raises the question, Menon Himili, how do you know there's a concept of Hamotze Mechavel Avraya? How do you know that I have to prove if I want to get the shirt from you? So comes the Gemara and says, it's a pasuk, it's a gzeres hakosel. What's the pasuk? Adogap a pasuk in Pashas Mishpatim. Vibal devorim yigash aleim. What's the context of that pasuk? So right when Moshe Rabbeinu is going back up to Har Sinai, going up the first time to Har Sinai, the whole machlik is in Shalom and Chumash, whether that parsha is before parsha Shabbat, after parsha Shabbat, whatever it is, in the Chumash it appears, in the Sefer Torah it appears at the very end of what we call parsha Mishpatim. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Klai, so he says, listen, I'm going away, I'm going on vacation for 40 days, they're going to be Dinei Torah, they're going to take place. So here I'm leaving you with the Dayanim, Aaron and Chur, I got a whole bunch of Dayanim who are going to judge all your cases. Mi Baal Devar Migash Aleim. Whoever's got problems should go to these Dayanim. Mi Baal Devar Migash Aleim. So come to the Gemara, Rebbe Kamen, at the Drosha. Mi Baal Devar Migash Aleim. Yagish Raya Aleim. They should bring a Raya, Loshen Agosha, to bring a Raya. In order, you want to get something from somebody, you have to bring a Raya to prove that you're entitled to the moment. Mikan, that there's a din of Matzach Meil of a Raya. Gevaldik. To which the Gemara asks the question, Lamali Kros Svarahim. Yes, the Gemara, when you need a pasuk to tell me a motzeh mechvel of a raya, it's obvious you have a problem, go deal with your problem. The Gemara says you have a toothache, go to the dentist. You have your head hurts, go to the doctor. If you have a problem, Moshe doesn't have a problem, he's got a nice shirt. I have a problem, I want that shirt, go prove that the shirt belongs to me. So a motzeh mechvel of a raya is such a pasuk to svar, it's so obvious, you don't even need a pasuk to teach me a motzeh mechvel of a raya. Anybody could figure it out, just a little bit of common sense. You see from this Gemara something interesting. What do you see? You see that dinim that learned out misvara had the status of what? Of dinim d'araisa. Because otherwise, what kind of question is that? Lamli cross svaraho. You need a pasuk to tell me that it's a din d'araisa. The answer is no, it's not true. You would have known that anyway. Anything that's learned out from the svara, it's a good svara. If it's a terrible svara, it's a krum svara. Okay, so then we threw it out the window. But if it's a good svara, so then anything that's learned out from the svara has the status of a din d'araisa. So Lamali Kros Svaru asks the Gemara, to which the Gemara says, Yitaka, right? You don't need a pasuk from Motzeh Mechvel V'raya. Either pasuk Mibal Dvarim, that teaches us something else, and the whole sugya in Sanhedrin, Bapakam, again, we're not learning Bapakam and no Sanhedrin right now. Ad Kan Divrei Gemara. So you walk away from the Gemara with the following conclusion. There's only one thing you have to extract from the beginning of the fifth parak of Bapakam, and that is, the din of a Motzeh Mechvel V'raya is two things you have to extract. It's a din d'araisa, and there is no necessity for a pasuk for it. It's a pasuk to svara, the guy who has a toothache should go to the dentist. That's the mocha for the din of a motzeh mechvel v'raya. Of course, the whole world changes when we open up Rashi in the beginning of the fifth parak of Gittin. What happens when we look at Rashi? So the Gemara discusses the klal of motzeh mechvel v'raya. Come to Rashi on the spot, it says what? What's the mocha for motzeh mechvel v'raya? What's your pasuk? We would have said deraisa, but you bothered me. We already said deraisa. What's the problem? The problem is Rashi forgot that the Gemara, that was only Havamina the Gemara. What do you think? Rashi went to those yeshivas that spent the whole year on just Havaminas. It's a Havamina, it's not a Maskara. The Maskara the Gemara is that it's a Svar Biyam, it's not a Pasuk. So once Rashi drained us a cup and gives and revamping and recreating and bringing back to life, the Havamina the Gemara that Motzeh Mechvel V'raya is a posuk, if in the end of the day it's not a posuk, at the end of the day it's a Svar B'Yalma. So this is a difficult Rashi. So in order to solve this dilemma, to understand Rashi, we have to get a little bit more of an understanding as to what the very nature of the din of a Motzeh Mechvel V'raya is all about. So if you go back to that sugya in the beginning of the fifth parak of the Kama, you may remember, hopefully everyone has had a chance to see it, was that on the good. I think we've got at least the first Mamre Gomus to get straight. Okay. We usually try to have a correlation as to what I claim is on the Mamre Gomus and what is actually on the Mamre Gomus. There are sometimes discrepancies between the two, but we try our best. Okay. The Gemara tells us that there's a major fundamental machlokes within this klal of a Motzeh Mechvel V'raya. Now, again, we're nowhere near up to karka yet. We'll get the karka hopefully by the end of the shiur today. But if we don't understand the basic halacha that relates to the tachlin, we're not going to get to the batter's box in terms of chesed about them. So we have to understand what is a Motzeh Mechvel V'raya all about. So Kamsi Gemara presents a double machlokes amarayim within the parameters of a Motzeh Mechvel V'raya. When does it apply and when does it not apply? How far do we take this klal? So one was a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel, and one was a machlekes between Rav Nachman, Huna, Yonah, and Roy. Now, two seemingly different shayles. Machlekes Rav and Shmuel revolved around the following question: whether holchim b'mamon acharov or ain holchim b'mamon acharov. So rov is a concept that we're all familiar with. It's a din min haTorah. There's a concept of rov acharav mahatas. You follow rov in Yisurim. They have a Shatz, you have 10 stores on the block, one of them is selling kosher, none selling kosher, one's selling trade. You find a piece of meat on the ground, you're not sure where it came from, and I tell you, follow Rav, good, wonderful, hunky dory, there's a din of acharam mahatis. Comes Rav and says, just as you follow Rav in the realm of Isra'adur, you follow Rav in the realm of Dini Mominus as well. And comes Shmuel and says, no, there's a chiluk between the two. That Rov works by Yisra Hedda, but you don't follow Rov by Dini Momenis. Ain Hochim B'Momen Achar Rov. What does that mean practically? I have it in Torah with you, and I'm trying to get my money away from you. I'm trying to win the case. So I come and I say, I have a proof. What's my proof? There's a Rov, and I present the whole statistical Rov. Is there any 70% chance that I am the rightful owner of this property? Comes Rav and says, you follow Rov, and that's enough to get away the property from you. Comes Shmuel and says, "Ain hochem b'mamon achar rov." Rabbi say, Rav and Shmuel seem to be arguing about something fundamental. They seem to be arguing about the parameters of hamotzi lechaver l'haraya. Rav understood that rov is considered to qualify as a raya to be motzi mamon, and Shmuel says, "No, rov is not a raya to be motzi mamon." So that's an interesting first machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. We've identified the machlokes. We don't quite understand what the root of the machlokes is all about. But at least we succeeded in identifying the first issue. Then Kavya Maraim, also quoted in the fifth parak of the Kaman, something to see also in the Ksubas, other places, and have the following shadow. What's the din? If I have the following din Torah with you. You're holding on to that shirt, back to Moshe's blue shirt, he's holding on to that shirt, and I come to Moshe and I say, Moshe, I am absolutely convinced that shirt belongs to me. And Moshe says, I'm not sure, I don't remember. It may be my shirt, it may not be my shirt. I'm not sure, but right now I'm wearing the shirt. What's that called, everybody say? Bar v'shema. What's the din? Machlekes Samaraim. Hechta v'raim el bar v'shema bar adif. That klal of bar v'shema bar adif can be used to be mitzi mamun. Namely, bar v'shema bar adif overcomes a motz mechaver alav araya that suffices as a raya. And the other hechta v'raim said nothing doing. The bar v'shema lav bar adif. So we have two interesting machlokes that the Gemara has mapped out for us in the fifth parak of Bava Kama about just how much of a raya is necessary to be mitzi mamun. One is Machlekes Rav and Shmuel about Rov. Is Rov suffice, Rov not suffice? And the second is Machlekes Amarayim, where the Bar V'Shema can be used to be Motzi Mamun. This is all fine and beautiful and wonderful. Well, what does this tell us about the very nature of what we're trying to talk about to understand what HaMotzi Mechaver L'Varai is all about? Comes the Pnei Yeshua in Maseches Gittin on this Rashi. We've quoted this Pnei Yeshua before. Not this year, but we've quoted it in the past, right? We never quoted it before? No? Not in the Rosh Hashanah for sure. Somewhere in the last 5 years we've quoted it. So comes the Pnei Yeshua and says, what is really taking place in this Gemara is something which is fundamental, something which is very basic, as to what exactly is Hamotzi Mechaver L'Varaya all about. Comes the Pnei Yeshua and says, one could present Motzi Mechaver L'Varaya in one of two ways. Either one could present Motzi Mechaver L'Varaya as just be a way, in a sense, of throwing up our hands and saying, listen, Moshe's wearing the shirt. I'm not wearing the shirt. Look, Ms. Stoma, he's the rightful owner of the shirt until proven otherwise. I have to prove that it's my shirt. But Lays Breyer, what's Bezin going to do? Take the shirt away from Moshe? It doesn't make any sense. Motzi Mechaver L'Varaya is just a simple way for Beis Din to say, listen, we don't know to the contrary, we're not going to act until we know to the contrary. Shevi Al Tasa, if you don't know, it's a cloud global life. If you're not sure what to do, Shevi Al Tasa Adif. Most disastrous mistakes are made when people do things they're not supposed to do. Sometimes disastrous mistakes are made when people don't do what they're supposed to do also. But you're usually safe if you Shevi Al Tasa. So that's one way of understanding Motzi Mechaver L'Varaya. Just simply stay put. You have no reason to believe that the shirt belongs to Rabbi Sibolovsky. So let Moshe keep on wearing a shirt. That's one way of understanding Motzi Mechaver L'Varaya. However, if that's the case, if that's the beer in Hamotzi Mechaver L'Varaya, then Beis Din, what we're saying is as follows. Hamotzi Mechaver L'Varaya means Beis Din needs something to act on. Beis Din's got to have some kind of a halchocha to be able to start to act and stop taking money away from somebody else. What qualifies as a halchocha? What qualifies the raya? Where do you go to look? Whether you have a sufficient raya to be motzi mamon? What's the answer? You go to kol ha-Torah kula. The Torah gave us this beautiful klalim about what constitutes rayas in different areas of halachas. Sfeikas are not limited only to dinei mamonim, but the concept of sfeikas is in the Heter as well. So So there are klolim in Hilchos Sefer Heter. How do you mevaris sveikis? What do you do when you have a suffix? A lot of sveikis in life. A lot of people sometimes come to me. They say, not in learning context, not in context, speaking and dating, but other things also. They can't deal with sveikis. Everything has to be bar or vad. The concept of sveikis, they can't deal with it. The Rebbeinu Shlomo built sveikis into the world. Otherwise, the Sheish Mitzvot would have nothing to write about. There are sveikis in life. So you have to know how to deal with sveikis. There are klolim, there are rules in Harah. What do you do? So there are klolim of Reiv, and there are klolim of Chazokas, and there are klolim of Edechod, and there are klolim of Kavua, and klolim of Karav. There are a million klolim what to do when you have sveikis. So l'chora, if you hold that Hamotz and Mechavel of Araya is just simple default, that there's no great chiddush here in Hamotz Mechavel of Araya, it's just common sense that why should we act if we have no reason to act upon? So then what would give us sufficient reason to act? You open up a Yeridea and you figure out, you open up a Rechayim, open up an Eben Ezer, whatever qualifies as a sufficient raya in other areas of Halacha will qualify as a sufficient raya to let Beis Din act there as well. So what are some interesting things that are proofs in other areas of Halacha? What's that famous, most famous proof? Rove. Rove works in its head. The Rove works in Ma'afir Nisha. Rove works to be matter deep. Rove works to be matter one. Rove works in so many areas of Halacha. So Rove works to be Maitzi Mammon as well. Why? Because you don't need anything magical to be Maitzi Mammon. All you need is to give Beis Din something to work with. You have to have something that the Torah accepts as a proper method of Biror. So if Rove is good in other areas of Halacha, so Mehecha Teis, that's no good. Indeed, Mammon is. This is Rav speaking. Rav says, you follow Rove, Bein the Isura, Bein the Mamona, because Mehecha Teis, that you shouldn't. Why shouldn't you? What is the magical and mystical, this aura about Dini Mamonis that prevents you from using Rove? If Rove is a good beer in other areas of Allah, it's good in Dini Mamonis as well. This is Rav speaking. What's the corollary of that statement that Rove works? Baruch Hashem probably works as well. Because if you think about it a little bit, what is Baruch Hashem? What is Baruch Hashem? I say for sure the shirt belongs to me. Moshe says, not sure. If you make a statistical study out of Dine Torah that involves one person saying he's sure and the other guy saying he's not sure, what do you think the statistics are going to point? Which direction? They're probably going to point to the direction the guy who's Vad and the guy who's Bari is probably correct. So it's quite possible that every Bari B'Shemha is just a fancy, okay, we're going to say it. What are we going to say? Raz, there you go. It's a razzle-dazzle rove. That's all Bari B'Shemha is. That means it's a very fancy, nice, yeshivish way of saying there's a rove. The odds are, statistics, the research points in a direction saying that when I'm Bari and you're Shema, I'm probably telling the truth. So if you hold that holchim b'mamon acha harov, the corollary of that statement is going to be that holchim b'mamon acha bar b'shem as well. So bar b'shem is going to be good to be mighty mamon. So this is all Rav. If Rav, where was Rav b'shivin? Who knows? Surah. Okay. So if Rav was saying Shir and Surah, so this is the Mahalach, there we go, that Amot Mechel of Araya doesn't mean anything mystical, magical, no great aura of Dina Mammonis. All it means is you got to give Beis Din something they can hold on to, something that's good to be Matar and Nisar of Chelav, something that's Matar and Nisar Nida, something that's Matar and Nisha Levat. Anytime you have some kind of a Hochocha that the Torah accepts in other areas of Halacha, so by extension, it's going to work in Dini Mamonis as well. This is Rav's version of Dini Mamonis. This is Rav's version of Amotz Mechvel of Araya. And therefore, Holchem B'Mamonach HaRov, and therefore, Bar V'Shem B'Bar Adet. This is all Rav speaking. Come Shmuel in the Hardah and says, no, we learn differently in this yeshiva. Everything is different. What is fundamentally different? What changed according to Shmuel's understanding of Amotz Mechvel of Araya? Well, that was Rav. According to Shmuel. According to Shmuel, there's one letter in that statement that's important. Hamotzi mechaver ala haraya. Tell me the important letter. Hey. Hey. Hey, hayidia. Hamotzi mechaver, you want to get money from somebody, you better prove it with the absolute best possible proof that the halacha accepts. Because the other guy's got a cheskes mamon. You can't just play games with cheskes mamon. You can't just take a guy's money away from him. You want to take away a guy's money? Hamotzi mechaver, not Hamotzi mechaver, Allah raya. Just bring a raya, bring a proof, any proof. You name your proof, flip a coin, any proof. No, Allah haraya, hey dia. Rabbi said, what is haraya? What is the greatest absolute bli shum safek proof that exists in the area of Kol HaTorah Kula? What is the best way to prove anything? We just read in Pasha Shoftim, ha'pin shnayim edim yochum dover. Anything short of shnayim edim, it's nishkin haraya. It's not called a raya. It's enough to be mocked at other things, but it's not a haraya with the idea of the ultimate raya. Shmuel has such a different understanding of the klal of a motzei mechavel of a raya than Rav. According to Rav, motzei mechavel of a raya was just by default. Don't get involved if you can't, if you don't know what you're doing. If you don't have any reason to believe anything's different, let Moshe have a shirt. But according to Shmuel, it's much deeper than that. Hamotzei mechavel of a raya requires Beis Din to come up with the greatest possible hachocha that exists in the world in order for to be motzei mamon. That's a very, very different understanding. Therefore, there are two dinim that are true according to Shmuel. Din number one, Enochem Amracharov. What's the kala of Enochem Amracharov by saying? What's the kala of Enochem Amracharov? Rav Hashem Bori is Lav Bori Ozit. Comes the Peshua now with the punchline. It says, this fundamental machlaik is Rav and Shmuel. There's two very, very different ways of viewing Motz Mechvel of Araya. With two nafkimina zadin, nafkimina b'hochom ha'macharon, nafkimina b'var b'shema, what is it machlekes rooted in? Why should one present Rav's version of Motz Mechavel of Araya, the very, very low level? Why should one present Shmuel, very, very, very deep, dark, secret, mystical, magical Motz Mechavel of Araya? Where should it come from? Where does it stem from, everybody? So what's the answer? Like most things, when you want to understand the nature of a din d'oraisa, where do you look? Just look at the mohar. The mohar for the din will very often reveal something, not just about the details, where Chazal derived it from, but very often will reveal about the very nature, about the very essence of the din. So what is the mohar for Motz Mechavel of Araya? We have two possible makairis. One possible mohar was the svar b'alma. You don't need a pasuk. It's obvious. It's poshut. What's the poshut? What's the svara? Who's speaking when he said svar b'alma? Who's that speaking? It was Rav. What's the svar? The svar is why get involved if you don't know anything. Why take away Moshe's shirt if you have no reason to believe that it's not Moshe's? So if you go with the root of Motz Mechavel of Araya being a svar b'alma, that's all there is. There ain't no more. There is no mokka. There is no pasuk. There's no exerce of Motz Mechavel of Araya. It's just a svar b'alma. It's by default, and Rav's 100% right. And there's no reason to negate what Rav is saying. And therefore, Hokum B'malach Haroyd, and therefore Bar B'Sheva Bar Yadid. It was Shmuel who discovered America. It was Shmuel who discovered this Zeres HaKosov. It was Shmuel who was Mechadish, this din of a Motz Mechvel of Araya. But you have to have a Pesach for that, Chiddush. That din of Shmuel's version, Shmuel's understanding of a Motz Mechvel of Araya cannot be based on just a Svar B'Yam. It's a terrible Svar. What kind of Svar Shmuel's din? I mean, Harai, hey, I never knew it was such a terrible Svar. It's a Pesach. It exists, but can't argue with the Chiddush Baruch Hu. So Hamotz Mechvel of Araya of Shmuel is rooted in a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, but it's not just a different mokbar than Rav; it's a fundamentally different hagdara than Rav with two nafkaminas ladina. Therefore, says the Bnei Yeshua, it's no surprise that Rashi brought back to life the Havli in the Gemara. When the Gemara was building in the fifth parak of Bakama, what's the mokbar for Hamotz Mechvel of Araya? So the Gemara started out with a svara, then went back to a pasuk, then it's a pasuk, then it's a svara. What is it at the end? At the end, says the Pnei Yeshua, I don't care what the Gemara concludes in the fifth paragraph of Kabbalah. At the end of the day, it's intuitively obvious that whether or not it's a svar, whether it's a pasuk, it's openly the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. But voice, everybody knows how to be fasting. Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, what's the din? Machlokes Shmuel Kedina. Everybody knows, Ein Hochum Machlokes Klal Gobel. Ein Hochum Machlokes. Therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, it's not at all surprising that Rashi resurrected that pasuk, because that pasuk is openly the Mokra for Shmuel. So Rabbi said, what we marviach at this point, what we just marviach is that the ABCs of Cheskes Abatim, again, we don't know why Motz Mechvel of Araya doesn't work in Cheskes Abatim, but before we get there, you have to understand what the klal is. The ABCs, the klal global of Motz Mechvel of Araya is a machlekes Rav and Shmuel, a machlekes between all the Amaron who were involved in Hochel Mamacharov, Enoch Mamacharov, Bar B'Shem, Allah Bar Yad, Dia Bar Yad, it all boils down to what's the mokka from Motz Mechvel of Araya. Is it a svara, which is just by default, or is it some zeres hakosav of haraya with the idea? So far, so good. Let's take a little twist, though. Take a little detour for a moment before we get back to where the direction we want to get to. Is there any other way of understanding what's going on in Rav and Shmuel? With the Hochum Mamun Acharov, don't think I'm just talking about this because I want to just talk about Baba Kam instead of Baba Basra. This is gonna play out throughout the course of the next couple of sugyas. Is there any other way to understand Hochem Mom Nacharov, Ein Hochem Mom Nacharov? Is there any other reason, perhaps, why Shmuel may hold Ein Hochem Mom Nacharov? Nothing to do with what I just said. Nothing to do with this Pnei Shur. Nothing to do with this razzle dazzle, Moshe Chaveri.
And whether the mute is bundled to the robe or not.
Okay. So let's get a little bit more of an introduction. Those who are with the Slash and Gittin may remember this from the beginning of the year also. Seems to be the minute every first couple of every year we start off with the same sugis. Miyot and Rob, remember that? Yeah, remember that? Fourth thing looking on that. Ready? No? Not ready? Okay. There is an age-old machlekes. It's age-old because we spoke about it the half of the year last year. There's an age-old machlekes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim. That when you have the following shaila, what do you do? Nothing to do with the Nimbus yet. Shaila is in a heter. You have a robe that's passing in one direction. Robe is pointing you in one direction, either the heter or the yisur. But opposite that robe is something else. It's something that's fighting, going up against that robe. What's going up against that robe? A what? A chazocha. Okay? You have a robe on one ear, then you have a chazok on the other. Chazok and not chazok, kimushon, or chazokatim, but a chazok on the ikar, namely the status quo with such and such. In the last 20 years, this has been mutter, and now there's some kind of a latest of suffering. So robe points in a direction that it's also, there's 95% chance that it's also, but chazok points in a direction that's still mutter. So you have a clash between robe in one direction and a chazok in the other direction. What do you do, Rabbi? So all the Gittin guys from Lesha, what do you do? Ruba v'chazok, ruba adif. Anyone want to question that? Smoke with the chazaka. So it was a famous machlekes atanoim between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. What do you do when you have this conflict of a rov against the chazaka? So the Chachamim said, Ruba v'chazaka, ruba adif. Rov beats out, finish. And Rabbi Meir says, no, smoke with the chazaka, isle ruba, that you don't deny, you don't ignore that miut. The miut is command the isadami, whatever that means according to Rabbi Meir. You combine that miut with the chazaka, and lo and behold, that either equals the rove or outweighs the rove, depending on the sugya, so leaving out the details of the sugya that we spent a lot of time on last year. So again, according to the Rabbanan, simple equation, ruba chazaka, ruba adif, no shadow about it. According to Rimeir, either equal or perhaps even beat out rove. Okay, hopefully we'll talk about this more as it becomes relevant as sugya is developed for us this year. But that's the basic machlokes of the Rimeir and the Chachamim. Comes Tosfos in the beginning of the third parak of Bava Kamma and makes a cryptic comment that some Acharonim understood to mean as follows. The Prima Gaon at least understood the Tosfos to mean saying this. So he's saying as follows. This Shaila of Hochem of Mamon Acharov or Ein Hochem of Mamon Acharov is a similar question to Ruben Chazak or Ruben Adif. Why is it? You have on the one hand, you have a rove, so rove's getting ready to be melti mamon. On the other hand, the other guy's holding on to the money. So the other guy has a what? The other guy has a chazaka. So you have a question of a rove against the chazaka. So what do you do? Ruv v'chazaka, ruv adifanah. So what did Rav say? No? What did Rav say? Rav said, holchim v'mamonacha harov. Why did Rav say that? Because Rav said, everybody knows that we toss them like the Chacham. Nobody tosses them like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was a Das Yochid. So Rav is the easier one to understand. So the way, again, the way Tosfos, or the pre-government version of Tosfos, is presenting Rav and Shmuel in light of the Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanim. Since we paskin Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif, therefore Rav says the corollary of that statement, the Nisav Ahav, the Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif, is that Holchin v'moman acha harov. But what makes life more difficult for us is, in case, what was Shmuel driving at? Why, according to Shmuel, does everything change? Why, according to Shmuel, ain't over nacha b'mamnacha harov? Don't tell me that we follow Rabbi Meir. That's ridiculous. Nobody possibly like Rabbi Meir. So what's Shmuel's problem? Why didn't Shmuel learn the sugya like Rav? So comes the Tosfos, again, assuming that's what Tosfos is saying, and suggests as follows. Even though it is true that Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif, unequivocally, we pass it against Rabbi Meir. There is no shaila whatsoever. There's nobody passes like Rabbi Meir. We pass it Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif. However, it's quite possible that Vaneh Devar Mamurim Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif, that's on a level of Deraisa. But Tachlis in Shulchan Aruch Midirabanan, the Chachamim Misaken, that We're going to follow Rabbi Meir's, so to speak. It means we're not going to just follow robes. We're not going to be so quick to follow robes. We're going to put the brakes on a robe. On a level of the Rabbanon, we're going to put the brakes on a robe. We have to be chayshish for the chazokas. The Rabbanon are hands are tied. Beis Din can't paskin things just based on robe alone, in contrast to a chazoka. So yes, it's true in the perfect world there is a rubah chazak rubah adif, but lamaisa mid the rabbanon rubah chazak is lav rubah adif. Where in the world did these rishonim come off to say such a thing? What's the mocker decision? Who remembers? Extra credit for last year. Who remembers? What's the mocker in Shas to make such a wild statement that even though you have 100 gemaras that say rubah chazak rubah adif, gemaras in kedushin, gemaras in chulin, gemaras in gittin, everybody holds like the chacham rubah chazak rubah adif. All of a sudden, everything changes. Mid the rabbanon, the whole world changes. Who remembers? No one remembers. Rue. Not even. Where's Dobby? Where's Dobby? Kedushin. It's not a good Kedushin. Where's the Gemara? Come on. Chulin? No, it's the same Seder. Come on. When in doubt of a Masechta, what are the odds it's going to be in? Seder Kosh. That's right. Seder Masechta Becharish. Excellent guess. They called me yesterday with an emergency in the Gluck based Medrash. What was the emergency? They're putting the Smarm on the shelf and they needed the Sefer on Bukharis. They can't stop the Nuzman without the Sefer on Bukharis. To which point I said, Lamaisa, the main based Medrash, has been around for the last 14 years and the Sefer's been around. It's not there either. So, anyway, okay. So we're working on it. Those who don't follow the jokes, don't worry about it. You catch up afterwards. Shish Abaton will tell you what you missed all year. Anyway. That's a good joke, Sam. So comes the Gemara of Bukhairis and says as follows. Comes the Gemara and raises the following shaila. I have an animal in front of me. Add a moment just a little bit. I have an animal in front of me. And I have no idea whether this animal is a female animal. See why that's important in a minute. I'm not sure whether this animal has ever had a baby before. I have no idea. If this female animal has already had a baby, so then I know the next animal is going to be born is not a Bukhair. Did the female animal not have a baby? But obviously the animal is going to be born that isn't before. I have no idea, Mamish. Go figure. I have no idea. The animal came running out of the farm. I have no idea. But I notice that this animal is nursing. This animal in the village is producing milk. And anyone knows a little basic biology, both the people and the animals, knows that that's a pretty good proof that this animal has already had a baby at one time. Ro behemos enum chobot elim kemioldos. Most probably those that have had. However, it's true, it has been documented both in those animals and people, it's possible for a female to produce milk even without, she has some kind of a hormone imbalance, it's possible to produce milk even without having had a baby. So it's not an absolute 100% ironclad proof, but it's a rove. So what do you do? Now, I have this animal in front of me. This animal gives birth to a boy, mazel tov, and I want to know, do I have a bechor in my hands or not have a bechor in my hands? So comes the Gemara at the end of the third paragraph of Mechayrus and quotes the Machlekes HaTanoim. Is Cholof Poiter? Is Cholof Eino Poiter? Can I bring a raya brura that this animal already gave birth from the fact that it's giving milk? Or is that not necessarily a sufficient proof? A Machlekes HaTanoim. Rabbi Netam is quoted in the beginning of the third paragraph of Mechayrus as being medayik from the Gemara that we passed in Cholof Eino Poiter. Not all Rishonim would agree to that. Rabbi Netam claims that the Machlekes Gemara is Cholof Eino Poiter. To which Rabbi Netam is brought with the question. If Cholof Eino Poiter, but it's a rove, so why don't we apply the following rule? You have a rove pointing in the direction that the animal probably gave birth. You have a chazaka pointing in the direction that the animal probably did not give birth. What's the chazaka? Why is the chazaka the animal giving you birth? What's the chazaka may occur that hasn't given birth?
Never give birth.
Anytime an animal is born, it hasn't given birth yet, right? So when this animal was born 10 years ago, it had not yet given birth. So there's a chazaka pointing in the direction that it has not yet given birth. We have a rove pointing in the direction that has given birth. So you have the milk, which is a rove on the one hand. The chazaka may throw the animal on the other hand. What do you do, Rabbi Say? No, what do you do? Ruv the chazaka, ruv adif, right? So how can we pass the chol of in a poter? You see from here the following, you cite how you cite this is Rabbi Netam, that even though Ruba v'chazach Ruba Adif, yeah, that's not the Maisa, we're not going to pass on Shah here a day based on that, that's a dead ice, that's for Sheikh Shmaita purposes, Ruba v'chazach Ruba Adif, but the Maisa, Ruba v'chazach is Lav Ruba Adif. We're not so convinced that Rav is such a gewaltige thing in the world. Look at the Kaishish for the Chazaka. So Rabbi Natan saw in that Gemara, you have to be the Rabbi Natan. First of all, you have to know that Gemara exists. You have to know the third breath of the Chavis, to know that Gemara exists. The Chalav in a Paita. You have to, first of all, make believe that that's what the Gemara says, because you have to show how the Gemara didn't say that. But assuming a lot of things going on here, you have to first assume that that's what the Gemara says, Chalav in a Paita. Then you have to understand the amkus of why that's true. You have to size up, you have a Rav letter, and you have a Chazaka of the Yisur. And then you have to do all the math and figure out, Minna Torah, really, we should have followed Rav. So you have to know the Gemara's in Kedushin and Yevamis and in Chulin and in Gittin. You got to know half a Shas just to be able to appreciate this Rabbeinu Tam. And then finally, you come to the punchline, Rabbeinu Tam says, Zevin from that Gemara, that Rupa Chazaka, Rupa Adif only is Minna Torah, not Midura Baru. Then you have to take that Rabbeinu Tam and stoop it into a Tosis in the third track above a Kaaba, that Tosis is telling you, that's the reason why Enochem Lamanach Arayv. That is the reason why, because Ruk V'Chazach Ruk V'Adif doesn't really work L'maisa. Midirabonim it doesn't work. And that's the reason for Shmuel Enochem Lamanach Arayv. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of ingenuity. So you need a prima godin to do that. You can't just do it on your own. You've got to really, really work hard to come up with that idea. Rabbi Isai, why is this important for us? I don't know. Why is it important for us? Because it just gave us a totally different perspective on Motzei Mechaber L'Varaya. It just gave us a totally different perspective on Ein Hochem Mamanach Arayv. Ein Hochem Mamanach Arayv is such a difficult halacha. It's going to become so critical. Every other sugya we're going to be talking about it this year. Ein Hochem Mamanach Arayv is such a fundamental, basic klal in Dinei Mamanus. And yet we can't pinpoint why exactly it's true. We have two very, very different approaches in the Gedera D'Acharonim. Why is there such a klal of Ein Hochem Mamanach Arayv? You have the Pnei Yeshua in one camp, who is led by the Rashi in Gittin, who is presenting Enoch Mamanach Arayv as a din midaraisa, because Lamed Mechaber L'Varaya is a new halacha, it's a new dazzle dazzle din of Hei Haidiyah, you need a Raya, you need a Alfa Riga Shalem, it's got roots in Rashi's Meshpatim, it's mamash a din midaraisa of Enoch Mamanach Arayv. Then you have the other end, you have the Prima Godim, who is claiming Pshat in a Tosis. Notice we don't have any Rishonim actually saying anything. We have Chachamim claiming Pshat in a different Rishonim. You have a Prima Godim claiming Pshat in the Tosfos that Enoch Mamanach Arayv, don't make such a big tzimus out of it. It's not such an important halacha. It's a din derabbanan. It's the karele of Rabbeinu Tam's Cholav in a Poet of the third breath of the Chayrus. It has nothing to do with Dinei Mamanus Bechlal. It's not a Dinei Mamanus Tikkun. So Rabbi Isai, we have two very, very different understandings of the ABCs Enoch Mamanach Arayv, which is reflecting some very basic understandings about Motzei Mechaber L'Varaya. So we know there's a klal of Motzei Mechaber L'Varaya out there. We have no question about it. No shal about it. Motzei Mechaber L'Varaya exists. We know that we paskin like Shimon and Ochel Malach HaHarov. But we have two different understandings why all this is true. Even if the Yeshua's root, that it's the Reis, it's not as far, it's a Pasuk, there's a Pasuk, it's a different type of a din. All you have to prove God of it, the Taisus chat, that it's all just a watered down Linder Abonon called the Chol Avinu Poyte. But it has nothing to do with anything fundamental, razzle-dazzle about Dinei Mamanus.
Where is it?
It's in the beginning of the third pack of Bava Kam. It's Chav Zayin, if I'm not mistaken. It's the top toys. They don't have a Bava Kam here? No? No one has anything?
Yeah.
What do you got? What do you got for us? Caper bushes, what do you got? Brothers. What do you got? Top toys is Chav Zayin, in this. Pray for it.
It's coming.
You're talking about
Chadar.
Okay, read me the last line of this. Second to last line. Sorry,
I don't have a range
in mind. All right, read the last 20 words.
Just one more. The Hassan Gabe, the Dayan and Shiny.
Yeah, keep on going. Skip.
Hassan Okim, one of the Chesaf Mari, the Bezgen, Mapki Mine of Agave, Sharmamon, Dika Mir, Kazakalos, and Basaruba.
There you go. Okay. Right? You heard those words? Remember those words. That's what the Prima Godim saw in that Taisus. Okay? Good. All right. So far, so good. So it should be intuitively obvious to everybody that this is, I hope everyone enjoyed the Shia so far, but it's going to do with Bava Basra. This is exactly what is not happening in Bava Basra. Everything I set up until now is wonderful if we were learning the Beis and Menachem Bava Mitzvah. But now we're learning down, and we open up the Shia by saying that, guess what? In the realm of Karka, none of this is true. Because if you would have plugged in everything that we've been saying for the last 45 minutes at the Karka, what should the din be? I walk up to somebody's house, and I say, get off of the land. I owned the land 20 years ago.
What should the response of the Masig be? Five words. Go jump in the lake. I mean, tell me, what do you mean get off the land? I'm muchzik on the land. It's my shirt. It's my house. It's my field. Go. What are you talking about? Can you imagine the ramifications if that would be true? If that would be the halacha, what would we be doing right now? I can tell you what prayer we would not be learning. There'd be nothing to learn about. The whole chesedabatim, we could close in throughout the window. There's nothing to learn. Because the whole premise of chesedabatim is that is not true. So we're going to see, why is that not true? What happened to Moshe and the Chavei Lomanaya? What's the answer? The answer that is. Is that he can't be, but I come to you sitting in the land. I come to you on your land right now. You don't have to be 24 hours a day. Moshe, you could have put the shirt in the water once in a while. I walk up to you, you're sitting in the land right now. I come up to you sitting right here and I say to you, listen, get off the land. It's my land from 20 years ago. You should respond. What do you mean? I'm on the land. So what's the obvious answer to that dilemma? Didn't everybody think about it when you opened up Chesedabatim? You guys were spending time thinking about Shov Chesedabes Mechatzos and trying to, no, you got to ask this question. This is the only question you have to ask. Why is this Mishnah true? What's the answer? No? What's the answer, by saying?
The what
did he say? And therefore?
Therefore you can't be mechazik on something that is not able to be used.
So close to say that last word. But you really meant to say it like this. What I meant to say, it's very poshut. The concept of muchzah, everyone in the shiur usually says really, really great things. Because whatever I don't like, I just, I am here by muchzak on the cell phone. I'd rather not be, but I am here by muchzak on the cell phone. Why? It's in my hands. I'm holding on to it. I'm here by muchzak on this bottle of water. It's in my hands. I'm muchzak on my jacket. I'm wearing it. Rabbi Sai, when I'm sitting in my house in Bergenfield, I'm not muchzak in my house in Bergenfield. You know why? Because karka, by its very definition, is not nitun to what? It's not muchzak. I'm not holding on to the karka. I'm sitting on the karka. I'm living in the karka, but I'm not muchzak on the karka. That is not a b'nitzim b'chavei, a levaraya. Like, very simple. That's what you, very simple. Karka is different from a ta'atolin. The ta'atolin, you can be muchzak on it, it's movable, you can pick it up. I can hold on to it. Karka, I can't hold on, I can hold on to the walls, but it doesn't mean anything. The concept of muchzak is totally and completely irrelevant to the realm of karka.
Why should that
be? I just explained why. Because I'm not holding on to karka.
But you're sitting in your house.
I'm sitting on my house. I'm not holding on to karka. The karka is not in my hands.
Yeah.
So good. So I just showed you why, as beautiful as I hope you guys enjoyed the first 45 minutes of Shia, my must become a variety, it's totally irrelevant in the realm of karka. Very nice. It's irrelevant in the realm of karka.
The shirt also, you're not holding it.
No, well, that's my goof. No, that's part of my goof. Like, my goof is like my hands. That's like a kinyan yad. Kinyan yad, let's say, it doesn't have to be literally in my hand if it's on my body. That's also called a kinyan yad. So that's all okay. That's all still part of me. That's still tisa.
You can't walk to a shtar, that's not considered
responsible. I'm holding on to a shtar. I'm not holding on to the karka. The shtar maybe says something in it, but maybe I'm old. Maybe I'm a muktzak on the shtar, but that's irrelevant to the karka. So, on my side, we're now in a really, really big dilemma. You know we're in dilemma in? We just spent 45 minutes talking about Matzah Chalavaraya, and in 1 second, we just blew up the entire relevance of this subject. Because now there is no issue on Matzah Chalavaraya. So now what do you do? So now we have to ask the second most important question in opening up Chesedabatim. Now we know what you do when you have a suffix in Metalpolin, you follow Muchzach. What do you do when you have a Din Torah between two people, and for some technical reason, whatever the technical reason is, there is no Muchzach? What do you do? Now, where do you go? So, we know Muchzach, Vibal Vamiga Shalei, we know everything there is about the cross, Svara, Teshua, we know everything for the first 45 minutes of Shia, but what do you do when that fails? When Muchzach doesn't exist, for whatever reason it doesn't exist, where do you go next? So, what's the answer to this question? We in Chazal formulate this clearly. You know, they never formulated it in Chesedabat, and that's the problem. In Chesedabatim, it's assumed that you figured this all out in the Bavakam of Metzia. Where do Chazal formulate this most clearly? What do you do when you don't have a muchzor?
What's so good?
Machlepar.
Is that a Marvel Thomas? From the Tzidav Kufur Alf?
Yeah.
Okay. Machlepar Bechamor. So a whole complicated sugya on the Kufam and Aleph, Machlit Parba Chamor. But that didn't tell you, I sold you a parah, you sold me a chamor, you traded me a chamor for your parah. It was a horse or a mule, whatever, kids, whatever it was. I'm selling you this, you're selling me this, and now we have some din Torah. What's a din Torah? Mazel Tov, the cow gave birth. But we don't know when the cow gave birth. Did the cow gave birth before the sale was completed, or the cow gave birth after the sale was complete? Not for the little demon, who owns the flood. So that's the theme of the Mishnah and the Kufam and Aleph in Bav Metzia. So most people know that sugya because that's what the Gemara presents, the whole machlokes sukkos and the Rabbanan, whether Nonim Budul Basafik, hopefully we'll get to that also later on in Chesed Devatim. But there's a very, very important yisod in that Gemara, which is critical for understanding Chesed Devatim. What's the yisod? The Gemara says, I don't understand, what are you talking about? What's the Safik? The Gemara is the Safik. What do you do? The Baal HaPara says he owns it, the other guy says he owns it, what do you do? So the Gemara says, Gavalk, the Shrikin, it's a Safik, Mamun, Chalkin, Sumchus, Rabbanan. Yes, the Gemara. What's the Gemara's question? Where's the cow now? Whose rishus is the cow in? If the cow's in my rishus, I'm the muchzak on the cow, and you're the motzvech of Maraya. If the cow's in your rishus, then you're the muchzak on the cow, and I'm the motzvech of Maraya. What kind of suffix moment is that? What did we discover in America? The kufam and alfin in Bavitzi. All of a sudden we have a machlokes, the sukkos and the rabbanon. What are you doing? You have a suffix moment. Frek the Gemara. What do you mean we do it? It's a motzvech of Maraya. What is the Gemara answer? Yomedes ba'aga. It's in neither ones of their rishus. It's sitting out in the marsh somewhere. It's out in the field somewhere. It's in no man's land. So now, what's the next line of the Gemara by saying? Let's look where it used to be. Let's look at the Marikava. Who used to own it? The Levi Idach. Amotu Mechmer Lavaraya. Rabbi Zai, the Gemara just told us, tucked away, kuf on an alf, but we see it. It's all like a cow. They can't figure out where to give birth. What did the Gemara just tell us? The cloud global, you say this in Dinim Amidus? The Gemara just told us that there was a secondary cloud in Dinim Amidus. There was a backup cloud in Dinim Amidus. What do you do when you don't follow Muxok, when there is no Muxok? It's not Shayat on Muxok. The Gemara says, if you don't have Muxok, then don't give up. Follow up. Three words. Cheskas Marakama. Sounds familiar? Is that the name of Ashir? Name of that topic? Cheskas Marakama. It's that Gemara of Metziyat of Kufam and Aleph that says it clearly beyond the shadow of a doubt that Muchzok, when Muchzok fails, fall back on Cheskas Marakama. Rabbi Sai, guess what? In Bava Basuk of Cheskas and Aleph, what just happened? Muchzok failed miserably. Why did Muchzok fail? You tell me why Muchzok failed. Because Kark is not a talisman, right? Good. So Muchzok failed because you're not holding on to it. What's next? Cheskas Marakama. That's the beginning of Bava Basuk of Chesed and Aleph. You cannot begin Bava Basuk of Chesed and Aleph without understanding what Muchzok is. You have to understand three things. What Muchzok is, why Muchzok fails, because it's Karka, not the Tavlin. And what do you do when Muchzok fails? That's Bava Metziyah Dafkur from it all. You follow Chesed Baruch Hamad. That's the background for Amishma. So now, that's the matter. He's like a charm. Once you know this, you can learn the whole parak now. The rest of the parak is very easy. That once you know, you follow Cheses Marakama. Unless there's going to be some other kind of Elchacha, which we don't even know what this is all about, Cheses Gimel Shonim. But now we understand the necessity for Cheses Gimel Shonim, because Muchzak fell, Cheses Marakama carries the day. Rabbi Yisrael, we have to take this sugya now one step further. What I want to know is, if it's so critical, that Gemara in Bav Metziyah Daf Kuf Amud Aleph, that there's Muchzok, and then there's a secondary booby prize, of Cheses Marakama, I want to know what is the relationship, or lack thereof, between these two elements. Between the cloud of Muchzok, and the cloud of Cheses Marakama. Are they working the same, or is there something fundamentally different about them? And this is going to make all the difference in the world in terms of opening up the beginning of the paraphrase. So we have two halachas on the books. We have Muchzok, Muchzok Levaraya, right, that whole category of the top one. Then we have the secondary halacha when Muchzok fails, Cheses Marakama. Yesh lachkor, one could raise the following chakira between the relationship between these two halachas. Are these fundamentally the same halacha?
Is cheskes markama just another way of saying muchzak when there's no real muchzak? Cheskes markama is just another way of saying, listen, it's true that I'm not holding on to it literally, but since lamaisa for the last 20 years I was known as the rightful owner of it, so apidin. If you can't have a real muchzak, so this is the next best thing, but it's just as good. It's working the same fundamental way. There is no fundamental difference in cheskes markama and muchzak. Or is this, my God, this is a different religion. This is a different story. Cheskes Merakama has nothing, kihuzeh, to do with muhsuf. It is rooted in an entirely different area of halacha. We, of course, have no clue which area of halacha it is rooted in. So I want to know, Rabbi Shai, what is the relationship between these two halachas? Are they fundamentally the same, or are they fundamentally different? And we'll see, hopefully, some very important afkimeh zadina as we proceed. So who are the Balei Machlokes in the Shah? Who is finding this out? This is a very hot topic. How do I understand the relation between these two halachas? Muchzak and cheskes markama. It was a fundamental machlokes that took place at the Shabbos table between two very important brothers. Not Tashbam Rabbi Natan and this one. Who? Simus was not the Tzelsin brother. The Tzelsin what? The Tzelsin the Kudus Asvekis. Okay, the two brothers. This is what these. This is what you guys talk about with your younger brothers at the Shabbos table, right? This is what my two boys talk about at the Shabbos table. Assuming that they're at the Shabbos table. Achleikas, the Ketzos, and the Kutras Asvekas. Kutras Asvekas is printed in the most of the Ketzosim. Comes the Bala Ketzos. He writes this clearly in the Sefer Shem Shmaitza, also in the Ketzos. Comes the Ketzos and says, this halacha of Cheskes Merakama has absolutely zero to do with the regular din of Muchzak. Whatever we spoke about Muktzah for the first 45 minutes, just forget about the Cheskes Merakama. If you're not Muktzah, if you're not Taifas, it's not Takas Yodchah, it's not the Balatulim, so then Muktzah is done. History. So in came, what's Pshat of the Gemara and Kufa Merav? Let's see what's Pshat of that Mishnah. What's Pshat, where did Cheskes Merakama come from? If it's not a subset of Muktzah, where did it come from? Says it tells, push a few buttons. Get out of Seyd and Ezekiel, because it has nothing to do with Ezekiel. Nothing to do with the name of this. Where does it come from? I say, boom, what was after? Chulin, what daf? Daf Yud, Marma Kermis? Comes the Gemara and says, there's a cloud global min HaTorah, that when you have a Sofek, in this of a Heter, you follow Chazok and Meikara, Bein Lekula, Bein Lekubra. Have a Shaila, I want to know, is this one Muteras or Shiasura? I want to know, is this Miras or is it Mutar? I have no idea. I have no clue what's going on. But I do know that yesterday was such and such. If you follow Chazaka. How do you know the concept of Chazaka? So Gemara says it's very simple. Just open up Parshas Metzorah and you'll figure it out on your own. In a million years, I never would have figured this out. Comes the Gemara and says, the Kayin comes, so look at the Bayis HaMenuga. Remember that Parshas Bayis HaMenuga? The Parshas never happened. Never will happen, the Gemara says, but it's important to be there. So you have Bayis HaMenuga. The Kayin comes, and he looks at the wall. And he sees, by golly, there's a nega, Bekira Sabayas, takes out his penny, measures it, see it's more than a grisk, a valtik, it's tummy, it's got the shear of the tummy. Bad news. What's the din? When does he declare that it's tummy? He's not allowed to declare it's tummy when he's standing in the house. Why? That'll be ridiculous. That'll become tummy. It only becomes tummy at the point that he declares tummy. So what's he going to do? The Yotza HaKohen, Torah says, Bechutz Labayas. He goes outside the house, closes the door, and says, you, tummy. What's the problem? As you know, the shear is the same. Maybe the shear got smaller in the last 30 seconds. But he's got a video camera. How does he know? So what's the answer, says the Gemara? He knows because that's the way it was 30 seconds ago. So you learn out from there. You see the koyach of this din of Parsha Menuga, Parsha's Digay Batim. From the Parsha Digay Batim, we derive this din of the Araisa called Chazoka Mekora. Bein Hokom Bein Lachmer. Rabbi said, who are you put on the phone today? You don't have to raise your hand. I hope you. Okay, everyone, here put on tefillin. This is some guys from Mincha. Everyone put on tefillin today? Good. Who checked that tefillin this morning to make sure they're kosher? Why not? How do you know they're kosher? Who told you they're kosher? They were kosher yesterday. Meicha Teis is still kosher today. So what the answer is? Parshas Nigi Batim. That's the only answer. It's the only hetter that we have tefillin today without checking a tefillin every day is Parshas Nigi Batim. Because the Chazaka was, they were kosher yesterday. And how were they kosher yesterday? Because the day before they were kosher. Sometime, 10 years ago, the Sefer put them in the bathroom. He told you they were kosher. That's the parsha, that's the din of Chazaka. It works. It's that din, which is the mokor for
the klal of Cheskes Marakama. Cheskes Marakama has nothing to do with Dinim Amunus. It has nothing to do with Yivav Bar Mikash. It has nothing to do with Choshim Mishpat. It is rooted in Yerideh. It's rooted in Bayis HaMenuga. It's no worse than any other Yivav Bar Mikash. It's no worse than anything else. So the hierarchy in Dinim Amunus is as follows. When you have the ability to follow Muchsuk, then you follow Muchsuk. If Muchsuk doesn't exist, either because it's Omeres Ba'agam, like in Rav Metzia Daf Kuf, or because it's Karka, like in Rav Asa Daf Kuf Ches, where Muchsuk doesn't make any sense, as you said. So, Lays Vayra, you can't follow a din and din a Mamanus, what do you fall back on? You fall back on the regular din of Kol Torah Kula. Mamanus is no worse than Kol Torah Kula. Rabbi Sai, what does the Ketzos just tell us, using some of our favorite lingo? But the Ketzos just told us, not only is the din of Muchsuk different than the din of Cheskes Marakama, one is a din ha, and one is a din ha. That's right. Cheskes Muchsuk is a din frothy and din Mamanus. It's exerus that calls him Rival Devarim. It's something very unique that's limited dafkin cheshim mishpah. Whereas the din of Cheskes Marakama is a din klali and kol Torah Kula. It has nothing to do with din Mamanus. It's a din klali. It's no different than checking it, not checking the tefillin, not checking the mikvah, not checking the animal, not checking the nega that it got smaller. It's a din klali of kol Torah Kula. It's fundamentally, radically different. One's a din of cheshim mishpah, one's a din of kol Torah Kula. This is the Ketzos' understanding. Comes his brother and says, it's not true. Zokta kunas asveikas, come on. There's one din in the Torah Kedosha that rules in Dinim Amunus, and that's called Hamotze Mechaveira Allah Araya. What's called Hamotze Mechaveira Allah Araya? When the other person is Muxa. How do you become Muxa? There are different levels of Muxa. Real Muxa, the ultimate Muxa, is when something is Tachas Yodi. I'm wearing the shirt. I'm holding on to the cell phone, I'm holding on to the hat. That's real muxer. Then the Gemara kvetches out for us about Matzia Daf Kufa Menalot, and the premise, the underlying premise of Avasa Kavches is that when you can't have that ultimate muxer, there's a booby prize muxer also. There's a secondary type of muxer. What's that secondary type of muxer? We call it, we give it three words. Cheskes Marakama. But it's rooted in Hilchas Muxer. It's a subcategory, it's a subset of Hamotz Mechaveira Araya. It's governed by the rules of Yival Dvarim Yigash Aleihem. It is not rooted in Chula Daf Yod, it is rooted in Vavakam Daf Rem Hei, Yival Dvarim Yigash Aleihem. This is the Kuntz HaSveikas understanding of the relationship between these two Dinim. So we have a major Machlekes, the Gedalia Haraynim, two brothers finding it out, what's the relationship of the lack of between these two basic elements? Everybody say, who's going to give me the litmus test? Who's going to show me who's right? How are you going to prove who's right? At the end of the day, everyone agrees there's a din of muxer. At the end of the day, everyone agrees there's a din of Ches Marakama. At the end of the day, everybody agrees muxer beats out Ches Marakama. So if everyone agrees, what are they fighting about? No, who's going to prove to me? Who's going to give me an afkimin or mina? Who's going to have to stop philosophy? No, not afkimin. No, how are you going to prove who's right? So it's the same with his brother's right. Give me the proof, the witness test. I give you a hint, Shmuel. That should be enough.
Maybe you could say that whether or not we use by non-aharol,
you're there, almost there.
Or we could have used rope. So
we'll stop you here for it.
No, but what I'm saying is, since Cheskes Marakama works, since we lean towards Chazaka like Shmuel, right, and we say Einholchim Laman Acharol, so what we're really saying is that Cheskes Marakama is rooted in
Well, we didn't say it yet. We almost said it. So what I think you mean to say is like this. I'm going to give you the following din Torah. Okay? Here's the din Torah. What's the din Torah? Remember those guys about Metzia Daf Kuf Amud Aleph? There's a fight it out where this animal gave birth. It happens to be that it's a medes ba'agam. It just happens to be. It's a medes ba'agam. So there's no muchsuk, classic muchsuk. But it happens to be Cheskes Bar Kama. For the last 20 years, we knew who the owner of the animal was. So I have the Cheskes Bar Kama. Okay? Now Jeremy comes with this unbelievable Ryan Bateman, based on Rome. He puts together some statistical study that 87.5% of animals that are born under these circumstances, the biology neonatologists are pointing the direction that 87% chance that Jeremy's right. It's my GLO to get this animal. And I'm screaming, but I got the Cheskes Bar Kama problem. I got the Cheskes Bar Kama. Who wins? If I would have had Muchsuk, and Jeremy comes up with his 87% study, what would we say to him? Out the first window, right? I don't know. But I don't have a Muchsuk. All I have is Cheskes Bar Kama. Rabbi said, what I'm asking is a very simple, very partial question. Ein Yochum Omach HaRov, Rov can't beat out Muchsuk. Can Rov beat out Cheskes Bar Kama? Can it? Who knows the answer to that question? Obviously, this is going to be the litmus test. What will the din be in Cheskes Bar Kama goes up against Rov? Who wins? If you hold, like the Ktsos, that Cheskes Bar Kama is rooted in Chulin Daf Yud, it's a din klali, a chazak on a yakar. It has nothing to do with the Mamadis. It's not subject to be Baal Dvar Miga Shalayim. So what's the din, Rabbi Say? When you have a clash between a chazak on a yakar and a rov, what's the din? Everybody knows what the din is. What do you do? When you have a rov saying one thing and a chazak saying something else, no? You think I just gave you that introduction a half hour ago for nothing? What's the din? What's the din? Forget you ever heard about Rebbe. What's the din? Rubenu? So if you hold that Cheskes Bar Kama equals, where's our, we don't have a magic marker. Cheskes, I had a magic marker. I read right here. Cheskes Bar Kama equals Chazoka Nekora. Right? So if Rove beats out Chazoka Nekora, then Rove is going to beat out Cheskes Bar Kama. Who's speaking out? This is Chazos. The Chazos will say, if he had a study, he was sitting on this din Torah, and he had Rove saying one thing. If Jeremy's got his Rove, and I got my Cheskes Bar Kama, Jeremy wins, hands down. Because Rove and Chazoka, Rove is a flea that Rebbe Tam, if Isis was a whore, we'd come on, no one knows Bukhars anyway. So Rove and Chazoka, Rove and Chazoka. But if his brother's right, if the Kunstas Sveikas is right, that Chazoka Mekora is not rooted, I'm sorry, that Cheskes Bar Kama is not rooted in Chulin Daf Yud, or rather it's rooted in Bava Kama Daf Memhei, it's a subcategory of Muchsuk. It's subject to the Klalami Baal Dvar Miga Shalem, Yabishraya Lehem. So then, what's the halacha going to be? Five words, not jumping the lake, but rather, Ein. You can't break down muksuk based on rov. You can't break down real muksuk based on rov. You can't break down quasi muksuk based on rov. If Cheskes Bar Kama is a subcategory of muksuk, it's not going to be overcome with a mere rov. And that's exactly what the Kunstas Veikis says. So Rabbi Say, this theoretical shiloh, this slumdish shiloh, what's the relationship between muksuk and Cheskes Bar Kama? Is now has the nafkamina ladina. Now we got to learn all the chesed button to figure out what the answer to that question is. We'll get there. Hopefully we'll get there as we go on. Anyone have another nafkamina, by the way? Just as a corollary to this? What will be another nafkamina?
Wouldn't the entire idea of chesed
button? We're just going to give me another nafkamina. What will be another nafkamina for a second? Bar B'Shema, we task in what? Bar B'Shema, lav bar yod. If I can't be motzi mavim based in Bar B'Shema, but what if it didn't tell us as follows? You don't have a muchzak. It was omedes biaga. So you're not a muchzak, but you have a cheskes bar kama. But I have a bar b'shema. Can bar b'shema work against the cheskes bar kama? Same exact shot. If you hold the cheskes bar kama is rooted in chazaka meikara, what's the answer? If you hold the cheskes bar kama is rooted in chazaka meikara, what will the din be? Bar b'shema. Will it work? Absolutely, it'll work. What will we call that? Give me another name for this. Din Torah. Remember, Din Torah with the rule. I have a Bar B'Shema, and he's got a Cheskes Bar Kama.
Just change all the names. Call my Baruch Hashem a lot. Call it a robe. Call his Chesed for a kam a lot. Chazak HaMeikara. What do we have? We have Rubah Chazak, Rubah, the magic. But if you hold like the Kodesh HaSvein is that Chesed for a kam is lot. Chesed for a kam is really just another form, another way, slightly watered down, but fundamentally the same as Mufsach. So the same way we pass in Baruch Hashem Allah Bar Adam, because that's not enough to be Meitzi Mamon, because Ein Hochem Mamlech HaRoiv, and Baruch Hashem is just a fancy Roiv. So that it's not going to work to be Meitzi Mamon for a real Mukhsar. It's not going to work to be Meitzi Mamon for Mechazes Markam either. So Rabbi said, we have two Nafkaminas Ladina, which both reflect this fundamental Machlaikis between the Kutzes Fekis and the Balakitzes, as to the relationship or lack thereof between these two different types of Mukhsar. The Mukhsar of Metalkalim, of real muksak, and the muksak of chesed markama of the mitzvah daf kufim some of esriagam, of a basa daf kaches of chesed tibat. So far, so good, right? Everyone's with us so far. Okay, just introductions. Introductions. We didn't start here. This is just we're getting almost there, really, but we're... What am I saying? Since we've thrown around a lot of these kolam today about roads and chazokas are up against each other and bominets and surim, so we just have to polish off the edges before we're able to continue. There was a basic premise that we said was machlokes hatanoim, but we ask in like this basic premise that's rub v'chazak rub adif. Now again, I know Rabbi Meir denies it, and I know that maybe Rabbi Tam denies it, Midrabbanan, and I know all that's true, but there is such a klal called Ruba Bechazaka, Ruba Adif. Okay? That's a given. And that's why, in fact, according to at least the Ktzos, why in Cheskes Abatim, Rov will work. Right? If I can bring you a Rov as a Choch against your Ches Norka, I'm going to win the Dintayra. So Ruba Bechazaka, Ruba Adif is alive and well, it's with us. It behooves us just to take a moment, take a step back, and understand why it's true. Why is it that Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif? Why is this such a klal? What did the Rabbanan mean when they said Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif? So comes the Ktzos. This he writes in the Sheikh Shmaita, and he writes in the Ktzos also in the Sheikh Shmaita. He suggests as follows. It's very simple, says the Sheikh Shmaita. Why is it such a klal called Ruba v'chazaka Ruba Adif? Basic. Says the Sheikh Shmaita, a chazaka by its very definition is a thing of the past. It means we have no clue what's going on now. That's exactly what our problem is. We have a suffix right now. We have no up-to-date information. We're not living in real time. We're living in the old days. Yesterday's newspaper said such and such. Last week's news, the story was such and such. We're assuming that things probably remain the same. We're very conservative in our thinking, so things have probably remained the same. That's what chazaka is. Something rooted in the past. Rov is something which is rooted where? When you have a shayla, the latest asafik, now there's a rov in front of me. The rov is pointing. Jeremy pulls out his study and says 87% of animals today, in 2009, give birth in such and such rates. Rov means I got 9 stores, 9 in the kosher, 1 in the strip, I got 9 stores in front of me right now. This is a kosher store, and that's a kosher store, and that's a kosher store. Rove always means that the rove is in front of you. It's the fanecha. So I have two equally, supposedly equally ways of being mevayer tzedekus. The Torah gave us two parshas. It gave us the parsha of rove, acharav mahatas, parshas mishpatim. And it gave us the parsha of parshas mitzayir of nigibatim. So each one is gevaldik. Rove is wonderful and chazaka is wonderful. But sometimes they clash. What do you do in life when you have one? Not everything in life is just hunky-dory. Not everything always smooth. Sometimes you have to choose between different things. So you have to figure out what's more important. When you have a clash in life, you have two things to do. Which is more important? Epikuch nefesh against chilul Shabbos. Which is more important? The Torah tells me. Having a say Allah says, which is more important? The Torah tells me. So I have a clash between a rov and a chazaka. I can't have both. Can't have my cake and eat it. One is going to win and one's not going to win. So which one wins? Says it tells us it's obvious. There's no pasuk that teaches me which one wins. Ruv v'chazaka ruv v'adav is not a pasuk. At least the Ktzos didn't think there was a pasuk. So how do you know which one wins? What do you got to do? If there's no pasuk, what do you have to go with?
Common sense, svara. What's the svara? Says the Ketzel, the svara is obvious. Chazok is something of the past, it's gone. It's old story. Whereas Rav is something today. Rav is something exciting. It's in front of us right now. So Ruba v'chazak and Ruba Adif is rooted in the fact that even though both of them are acceptable ways of being Mavaris, Tzveges, but Rav has something over Chazoka, that Rav is Oymed Lefaneinu Achshav, and Chazoka is a thing of the past. The boy say, if that's the case, that's the Lomdus, that's why Ruba v'chazak and Ruba Adif, we put a new spin on now. Why? Why is it that when Rov goes up against Chazaka Meikara, Rov wins? When Rov goes up against Cheskes Mammon, Rov fails. So we had a whole, we had so far two Mahalchim. We had the Prima Gadim's Mahalach, that's a Dimit Rabbanon. We had the Pnei Yeshua's Mahalach, it's Xeris Akosov, Haraya. Can anyone give us a third Mahalach now? Can you explain to me why Ein Ochel Mammon Acharoiv?
Is it Chesed Mammon the Chazak is right now?
Otazoi. Come to Shev Shmaitz and says that this is the secret, this is the ultimate reason why Ein Ochel Mammon Acharoiv. Because whereas Chazak Meikara is something of the past, because we have no up-to-date information, Mochsok Hamotzech Levaraya is something very much of the present. We have the most up-to-date, we have mamish up-to-date information. What's the up-to-date information? I come into Beis, I'm standing in Beis with Moshe. Moshe's wearing the shirt and I'm not wearing the shirt. That's Muchsuk. He's Muchsuk Lefaneinu. Zop Pesheh Shmaitza. The robe is Lefaneinu. Even if I can present in our robe, that most blue shirts in the world belong to me. So I have a robe, but he has a Muchsuk. He's not a Chazokha maker, it's a Muchsuk. So this is Omer Lefaneinu, and this is Omer Lefaneinu. So you have a clash between two Omer Lefaneinu. So basically, throw the hands up. What do they say? Ein Ochel Mammon Acharoiv. So what the Sheh Shmaitzer just did for us, mamash, sheer genius. What the Sheh Shmaitzer just did for us, he opened us a third approach. Ein Ochel Mammon Acharoiv. We have three Gedali Acharoinim, each one looking at this halacha of Ein Ochel Mammon Acharoiv through a different prism. We had the Pnei Yeshua who looked at it through the prism of the Gzeiros HaKosef of Rashi of Hamotzchei Haraya. We had the Prima Gadol looked at it through Tosfos' eyes that it's some kind of a new Chumrah the Rabbanim of Cholav and Apoyta and Chayrus, their parak, whole story. Not even the Deraisa. And now you have the Sheh Shmaitzer says, yeah, of course it's Deraisa, Ein Ochel Mammon Acharoiv, but it's not based on, it's not based on Xeris HaKosef, it's just based on simple math, simple calculation. What's more important than what? Present, future, past, present, or future. That's what it's all about. Depends about what perspective, where you are on timing, that's all that matters. So, Vice Ultimate Shem Kadara, I want to continue with the Sheh Shmaitzer because it's going to become important in terms of wrapping things up and then get a little bit of a different perspective on some of the things we're talking about before we move on to the series. Okay. Stop now. First, Major Mitzvah, 233, okay, downstairs.
They wanted to give me their emails.